He will not fail. Amen. He's God Almighty. He's the creator of the universe. And I think a verse in that song says, peace that don't make sense. Anybody have peace that don't make sense today? You know, some of us have came from some hard places, you know, but look where we are now, sitting in the house of the Lord, giving God glory, giving him honor, giving him praise, and worshiping the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. It's just like at the Harvest Crusade last night. Y'all may hear about that for the next couple of weeks. But I'm telling you, when I saw thousands of people with their arms lifted up, worshiping the same God at the same time, and the Spirit of God was moving through the place, children, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, praising and worshiping the Lord. All creeds and nations and peoples in one place. Can you, and that's just a rehearsal. When we get to heaven, we're going to show up, praise the Lord. It's going to be holy, holy, holy. Every day is going to be Sunday, and the Sabbath will have no end. Oh, praise God. Listen, I'm bubbling over. Y'all just pray for me. God has been so good to me. I mean, he has been better than good to me. He's been so good to me, I can't even hardly tell it. But I know what the Lord has done in my life. Yes. Just like the blind man over in what is John chapter 9. Jesus healed the man of his blindness. And people question, man, what? Now, are you the same guy? Yeah, that's me. That's his mom and dad. That's him. And they were pressuring the man. And he said, look, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. Amen. That's where I am at today. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind to spiritual things of God, and now I can see clearly. Those songs say, I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. Thank you, Lord. So I give God glory. It's a humbling thing to know the Lord. When you know that he's brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light, it's a beautiful thing. And he won't fail. He cannot fail. There is no failure in God. Amen. Listen, I'm living in great expectation right now of what the Lord is going to do, because I've already seen what he has done, and I see what he's doing right now. So I have a whole great expectation for what God is going to. You know what? I'm getting into the place where I'm just going to believe God, period. Amen. Whatever the situation may be, I'm going to give God praise in the midst of the situation. Amen. That's the great God we serve. Amen. I want to talk today about the subject of, you see, I choose mercy. Yes. Wow. Has God been merciful to anybody in here? Amen. To you? I mean, or is it just me? See, I know that God has been merciful to me. Yes. Times where I could have been dead, yes. Didn't know Jesus, I had guns pulled on me. I done flipped cars over. I flipped a car over three times off the San Bernardino Freeway going 120 miles an hour. Went to sleep at the switch. I ain't glorifying that. I'm just telling you. God has been merciful to me. You know, man. And I say, God, you have taken somebody like me and saved me. Have written my name down in God's Lamb's Book of Life, have allowed me the privilege to pastor a church with such beautiful people. Amen. And God's precious word. Okay. I'm just telling you how I'm feeling right now. It's a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing it is to know Jesus. When all of those people, Sister Carolina, last night, when the altar appeal was made, who wants to come to know Jesus? People started leaving their seats in droves. They filled up the whole outfield of Angel Stadium. And they kept coming. And they kept coming. I'm saying, God, you're merciful. God, you are touching hearts. You're touching people right where they live with a message of hope, with a message of grace. People kept coming out of those bleachers till the fire marshal said, enough, we can't put anybody else out there. I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care what people talk about the devil is doing. God is doing some great things right in before us. And I want to get on board. I don't want to miss the bus. I don't want to be late for the train. You know, I want to get on the train where Jesus is the pilot. Amen. We listen, let me get into the word. But young man that was here earlier, my brother-in-law saw him at the gas station crying. 23 years old. Just came out of rehab. Wanted to get a ride to his grandmother's house. But my brother-in-law told me, I'm going to church. He said, can I go? And all the while the young man was here, he's been just weeping. He asked for prayer. Told him, look, call us anytime. Tyrone and I, we prayed for the young man out here. What am I saying? God is merciful. I told him, no matter what you've done or what guilt you're carrying, God is merciful, and he will bless you. I want to take you back to ancient Israel. And this is where the thought came from, I choose mercy. How many remember David, King David? Wow. Started out as a young shepherd boy. Elevated the king over God's people. Killed Goliath. Led God's people for years. Trusted God. How many psalms did he write? Songs did he write? How many great things did he do? And then he even had a oopsie where he stole a man's wife and had her husband killed. And it was killing him inside because God had put his blessing and anointing upon David. And he got to a point where he cried out, Lord God, have mercy on me. You know, forgive me, wash me, purge me. And this merciful God we serve, because see, David at that point, he chose mercy. And God restored him. And it got to a point where now he's around 60 years old, what we're going to read today. And he only lived to 70. Sometime we can walk with the Lord. We've experienced the blessings of God. Trust in him, but we need to stay focused on what God has already done. If God has already blessed me, and he's done it many, many times, he's healed me many, many times, he I don't know about y'all, but have the Lord ever paid a bill for you? Have you ever got an unexpected check? You know, I got a check one time a couple of years ago. I'm like, what? I said, thank you, Lord. So in this, what we go, and so, okay, I choose mercy. Mercy is really not getting what I deserve because I deserve justice, you know. I think it was Tony Evans. I didn't know how this fit into church one time, but I heard Tony Evans say it was some kind of, you know, banquet or something going on, and they had a photo booth. And so the man went and sat down and took his picture. And he said, he went to the cameraman and said, oh, no, this picture don't do my face justice. and the cameraman said, with a face like that, you need mercy. And I said, Tony Evans, I don't know if that's good for church, but sometime we need to choose mercy. And I'm going to share with you why I see that in the scripture, but mercy mercy is a divine attribute of God. God is merciful. Because if God was like us, I don't know if anybody else would be sitting in the room right now. But because of God's mercy, we're all here today. And what a blessing it is. It's an attribute of God. For me, it's like pity and compassion that God shows and extends to his creation. You know, never out of his way. I think there's a Greek term that's derived from olive tree. from olive oil, and it says all olive oil was used to treat wounds. It was soothing, comforting, and healing. It speaks then to a merciful God who is all of those things. Because if we're going to be alive in 2025, there's some things we need to realize and never forget. That God is merciful and that he is gracious and he can be trusted and he won't ever fail. So as we going forward in ministry here in 3Ps and going into dark places and going into heavenly places and as a unit and blessing the name of God, we need to know who this great God is, who we're serving and who we're talking about. And I know that he's merciful. Praise God. Matter of fact, over in Matthew 5 and 7, the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall obtain mercy. Is there anybody in here could use a dose of mercy right about now? You know, where do you go for mercy? You don't go to the world. You don't go to Facebook, TikTok, or none of that. We go to the one who's able to extend mercy to us. So back in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, it's a lot of stuff in here. I'm going to read a couple of verses to kind of bring you up to speed. Going to read through it, and it blessed me. It blessed me so much to where I've been thinking on this for over a week. And then I was doing my daily readings, and it popped up, the same verse popped up in my daily readings. I said, okay, God, I get it. You want us to understand that you are merciful. And God, you want us to choose mercy. And I'm going to show you a few things in this passage. So in the first verse, now mind you, David was an awesome man of God. God had fought battles for this man time and time again. It was times when he said, he prayed, God, should I go against the enemy? And God said, yes. There was other times God said, no, don't do it. There's time. So this man had seen the hand of God, the power of God. And now he's up in age. And it says in verse 1, I'm going to look at verse 1. Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. And I'm like, so here is this mighty warrior of a king. God has never left him, has given him victory after victory after victory. And now he's looking at his army and all of the warriors, and he tells his right-hand man, Joab, go and take a census and count, bring me a report back of how many warriors we have. So it tells me that for some reason now, he's thinking his strength is coming from his army. It's coming from the amount of people. Sometimes we're not careful. We'll think our help is in all those folks around us more than it is in the God whom we have served and whom we believe in. And so Joab said, wait a minute, boss. I mean, David, king, God, he makes one of us like 100. Wow. That's big. Joab, even he had some issues. But he said, God has always been with us. Why do you want to do this? And nevertheless, at the king's word, they went all through Israel counting the warriors. And it came back with 1,500,000. And then even Joab, he said, you know what? I'm not going to count the Levites. And it was another group. He said, I'm not going to count. He didn't really feel like we should be doing this. And here's where the narrative picks up. Let me read through this. Verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing. I want to please God. Not for show. For show enough, though, I want to please God, but not for show. Isn't it something, so if God is displeased with something that we're doing, doing or have done. Anyway, let me read it. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. David was looking at the people, the amount of warriors and weapons and chariots and all of this stuff, as that where his help comes from. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Does it sound like at this point he's kind of saying, I'm going to choose some mercy here? But he's displeased God. See, God is merciful, but he's just. He's righteous, right? Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, a prophet that was assigned to David, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord. Hello. When you hear that, stand at attention. Listen up, because if it's really God speaking, we need to pay attention and listen. That's why we read the word. That's why we study the word of God, so we can hear what thus saith the Lord, right? So then the Lord spake to Gad, David's here, saying, go and tell David, saying, I offer you three things. I can imagine David at that point saying, okay. offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it for you. God speaking through the prophet to David. In verse 11, so Gad came to David and said to him, thus said the Lord, choose for yourself. Do you want 3 years of famine? 3 months to be defeated by your enemies, by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days, the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying all throughout the territory of Israel. Now consider, David, what answer I should take back to him who sent me, the one who won't fail, the one who can't fail, the one whose word is true. David, choose your punishment. Now, my mother never gave me a choice of punishment. She just, whatever was close by, whatever hit her mind at the time, that's what we got. David has a choice. David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are very great. He acknowledged he's done wrong. He acknowledged he's put his trust in man and not in his God. God is working through David even then for our benefit today, that we can see and understand what faith in God really means, what it really looks like, and how what it means to serve a real, living, and just, loving, kind, gracious, powerful God through the lives of his people. There's nobody in the Bible who's born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Because God would show everybody that's in this word just who they were and areas where they may have failed and areas where they did good. So we shouldn't beat ourselves up when we blow it, but we should cry out to God in repentance for mercy. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. In short, I'm jacked up here. I don't know what to do. I mean, like, okay, to be routed by the enemy. Now, you know the enemy not going to have any mercy on you. He said, box number one, no thanks. Mm-mm. He said, so please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. Listen to this. This gets real deep. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel. Now, mind you, here's the king of Israel everybody's looking up to. And now he has figured he need a number so to make him feel as though we can conquer anything. But God is the King of Israel. God is the King of all things and creator of all things. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel. Listen to this. And 70,000 men of Israel fell. Remember, he got the report back. You got 1,500,000 warriors. But you see, we serve a God who's in control of everything. And so 70,000 men of Israel died because of the sin of this one man. Right. And God sent an angel. God wasn't through. Listen, for whatever it's worth, this loving, kind, gracious God we have, that we serve, don't take him for granted. If you in Christ, be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, understand that you need to be in Christ. Because he's a just God. And our arms are too short to box with God. We got the T-Rex thing going on. You know, God is too powerful. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem, to the capital, to destroy it. This was happening in real time. As the angel was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster. What did I tell you about God? God said, this merciful God, we said, he said, wow, you know, it hurts the heart of God when we're not walking in the way that God wants us to walk. You know, he relented of the disaster and said to the angel, God spoke to the angel who was destroying. The Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it's enough. Okay, let me just go on and get through this. But listen, sometimes God will speak to our situation and say, enough. You've been going through a long time. The enemy has been giving you trouble all for a long time. God said, it's enough. And God will step in. He'll come to our rescue. So he told the angel, it's enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Then David lifted up his eyes. Mind you, he's in a bad fix because he chose to fall on the mercy of God. And now God is beginning to move in justice because of what David had done. And so then David lifted up his eyes and he saw, listen, get a picture of this. He saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven. Can you imagine what this angel looked like? Standing between earth and heaven with his sword drawn out. Having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders clothed themselves in sackcloth, in mourning and weeping cloth. And they fell on their faces. But God told the angel, that's enough. Because David chose to choose mercy. The other two choices was not going to be good. If we go around looking for mercy from people, we're in the wrong business. We need to look for mercy from God. And so in this situation, it seems it's a lot of moving parts going here. But and some of you historians and Bible teachers here, you remember when Abraham offered his son Isaac, was getting ready to offer him on the altar? And you remember when the temple and where the temple was built? Both of those situations is right here at the threshing floor up on a hill where they sifted wheat and stuff. Where if you go to the next chapter, it's where the temple plans had started been making the bill. It's some significance here. Man, I was looking at this and I said, God, you are so merciful. So what's the point today? I choose mercy. Sometimes we need to choose to show mercy to someone else. Sometimes it's easy for us to want mercy for ourselves. You know what? I've blown it. Tell your wife, honey, I've blown it. Yeah. How about a little mercy? You know? And how do you feel when that mercy is granted? Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, how much more for this merciful God we serve? And so in Romans 9:15, Paul writes this. He's quoting from scripture, Deuteronomy. He said, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. Now, you know that don't wash with us sometimes. You see some folks, you say, nah, I ain't gonna give you no mercy. You don't know what they've done to me. But God says, and then some folks shake their fist and say, God, why would you forgive him? Why would you let her off the hook? Because God said, I'll have mercy on whoever I want to. And I'll have compassion on whoever I want to. You know, but here, the God we serve, he's telling us we need to operate in mercy. I'm just talking about if we want to be alive in 2025, let's get back to the basics. Let's get to the root of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? Let's proclaim who he is to a dark and dying world. Over in Luke 18, there was two men that went into the temple to pray. One of them was a religious guy. He was a Pharisee. Oh, man, he had on all the clothing and everything. He got in the temple, and he just started praying to himself. God, I thank you I'm not like other men, extortioners and murderers and thieves. And he just in the temple praying up a storm. And he said, and I'm glad I'm not like that man over there, that tax collector, the one who's ripping off his own people. God, I'm glad that I'm on your side and you on mine. That's where his mindset was. But the man he was pointing to, who knew he was a sinner, who knew that he had done wrong, who now is convicted by God Almighty. And the Bible says that, let me read what it said. He said, the tax collector standing afar off, he wasn't up at the altar. You know, he might have been on the back pew somewhere. He said, standing afar, would not so much even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat up on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wow. Have anybody in here ever been there except me? Okay, it's probably just me. I've been to a place where I said, God, have mercy on me. God, forgive me. Isn't that what salvation is all about? I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've done wrong. I've been away from this God who created me. And now I'm saying, Lord, I've made shipwreck. Now I understand that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. So I want you to come into my life. And guess what? Them ain't just words. How many know he's real? How many know God is real in your soul, real in your heart? Amen. How many of you experience God raising up in you sometimes, encouraging you, strengthening you, healing you, giving you his promises and reinforcing his promises in your heart and in your mind? That's the God whom we say, oh, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Who else can I go to for mercy than to the Lord? Over in Psalms 103:8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hey, listen to this. He's slow to anger. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. He's abounding in mercy. If you believe it, please say amen. Amen. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. How many believe that today? Amen. Listen, you may have blown it yet last week or yesterday, but God ain't going to hold that to you all of your life when you just come to him and choose mercy. He says, he has not, oh my God, I'm going to sit down in just a couple of minutes. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Okay. Let that marinate for a minute. Any sinners in the house? Have anybody ever sinned before God? You know, He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Thank God. You know, the scripture says now in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't make a mockery out of God, but whatever man sow, that shall he reap. But do you know this merciful God that we serve? Some of the things that I've sown, thank God for mercy, I have not reaped. Jesus dropped the charges. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He has not dealt with us according to our sin. Oh, here it is. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. To those hidden sins. Those sins that don't nobody know but you and God. My God, is that a merciful God or what? I remember Jeremiah said in Lamentation 3 and 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. For his compassion fails not. They're renewed every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Church, choose mercy today. Somebody may have wronged you. Choose mercy. Sometime we need to stretch out our hand. Say, you know what? I forgive you. I release you. See, you know, sometime we need to just do what Jesus would do. Don't just put it on your bumper sticker. Don't just get a bracelet and say, what would Jesus do? We need to do what Jesus said for us to do. Amen. So I just want to encourage you all today, choose mercy. If you have something been plaguing you for years and you've made a mistake years ago, and the past, it don't feel good, but it's real. Just own up to it. That's who I was. That's what happened. But I've chosen mercy now. I fell at the foot of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, and my sins are forgiven. I don't have to carry it no more. I thank God he is so powerful. Nobody in here got amnesia. The worst thing you can think about that's happened in your life, you still remember it. But because of your relationship in the one who won't fail, in the one who can't fail, the one whose promises are true, you just receive it and you walk in newness of life. Amen? Amen. I'm done. Praise God. Amen. I choose mercy today. Thank you, Lord. Mercy. Mercy. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. So, Father, we just thank you today. We praise you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the precious people of God. Won't you pour out of your spirit, Lord? God, I know you're doing something in our midst, and we bless you for it. We thank you for it. God, your mercies are is just unlimited, unsearchable, but we choose mercy today, God. Everything that's been wrong, everything that I've done wrong, every situation where I didn't respond properly, God, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, God, in the name of Jesus. Those on Skid Row, have mercy, God. Those in a solitary confinement today, have mercy, God. Those who have a life without parole sentence, have mercy, God. Those that are in the hospital today that's on their deathbed of affliction, have mercy, God. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Sister, you share a song with us.